Luke 11, verses 1 to 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? For if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Now, I don't know if you've met Henry and Maisie. Henry and Maisie are very special friends of mine. I don't bring them to church very often. To be honest, their breath isn't too good. Their table manners are disgusting, but they're very friendly. They are, of course, my parents' dogs. There are some things we could learn from Henry and Maisie. They are very loyal. They are very affectionate. They are always pleased to see you. And I think they're an example to us of prayer. The great reformer, Martin Luther, thought his dog was a great example of how to pray. Luther said, "Oh, if I could only pray the way this dog watches the meat. All his thoughts are concentrated on the piece of meat. Otherwise, he has no thought, wish, or hope." That's exactly what dogs are like. If Henry and Maisie want something, they simply ask. In the words of verse 8, they are shamelessly audacious. They don't care how inconvenient it is. They just ask, and they don't give up. Jesus says that's how we should pray. Henry and Maisie have a carrot every night at 8 o'clock. They always know when it's time for their carrot, and they ask for it. And the same could be said for all the other things in their day. Now, the enormous difference between us and dogs is we're coming to our Father, not just to our owner. We should know the Father's love. And because we know this, we enjoy a relationship of prayer with him. Let me show you what Jesus says about prayer here. This is the first of a two-part series on prayer. And tonight, I want you to notice how everything depends on a relationship with the Father. We can ask for things because God is a good Father. The chapter divides naturally into three sections. There are outlines on your tables. Approaching the Father, verses 1 to 4, asking the Father, verses 5 to 8, and accepting from the Father, verses 9 to 13. Firstly then, approaching the Father, verses 1 to 4. So verse 1, one day Jesus is praying in a certain place, and his disciples say to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So what Jesus gives us is a pattern. It doesn't mean we always have to repeat this prayer word for word. It can be good to take the themes from this Lord's Prayer and pray under those headings. Although, of course, it's fine to pray it word for word as well. The most striking thing about this prayer is the way it begins. Verse 1. Father. I don't know whether you had a good father. I have a wonderful father who can't do enough for me and for my family. Some people struggle with the concept of father because they didn't have a good father. I think I can begin to understand this. We had a girl to live with us when I was a teenager. She was rejected by her birth parents and her adoptive parents. She lived with us. And I think I can understand something of her pain. However, God wants to be the Father we all need. God wants to heal our wounds and give us his love. It was an extraordinary thing for Jesus to teach us to call God Father. Judaism understood God as the Father of the nation. For example, Isaiah 63, verse 16. But you are our Father. Though Abraham does not know us, or Israel acknowledge us, you, Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from of old is your name. And then again, Jeremiah 31, verse 9. They will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water on a level path where they will not stumble, because I am Israel's father, and Ephraim is my firstborn son. So Judaism understood God as being the father of the nation. But no Jew would have dared to call God Abba, which is the personal name a little boy would use to address his daddy. Abba. Jesus is saying we can call God Abba. We can know him personally, just as we know our earthly dads. Prayer, then, is an intimate experience, not just a formal experience, not just something we do in church. We are probably, if we're mature Christians, we're probably more intimate with God than with our husband or wife. We tell God things we would never tell anybody else. We should know God then through Jesus. We should know his love for us personally. Don't miss out on this. Come and talk to one of us afterwards if you don't know God in this personal way. However, although God is our Abba or Father, he is still very much to be revered. This makes perfect sense to me. I love and revere my father. I would hate to see him disrespected. And Jesus is teaching that our Father in heaven, verse 2, is to be hallowed. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed means respected or honored or revered. You all know that God's name is a swear word in our society. When Jesus returns as judge of all, he will have something to say about those who've sworn using his Father's name or his own name. That judgment is something we should fear. Something should hold us back from misusing God's name. We will give an account. God's name is hallowed when everyone understands who God is, how holy he is, how powerful he is, and they respect him, even fear him. There will come a day when everyone will honor God, verse 2, when God's kingdom comes. The one who knows God as Father longs for the Father's kingdom to come. And this will be, of course, when Jesus returns. God's kingdom comes. God's will is done in the parallel passage in Matthew 6, on earth as it is in heaven. So the wonderful future event of Christ's return and the new creation is anticipated when we know God as Father. When we know God as Father, that's a taste of the new creation of the kingdom of God. When we pray, when we read the Bible, when we know God as Father, that's the kingdom of God breaking into the present. We could say the kingdom of God is wherever the king reigns, or wherever people know God as Father. And then in this Lord's Prayer, we pray for our daily bread. We pray for the things we need. I want to know what Robbie, Lizzie, and Mimi need. I delight to meet their needs. If I couldn't meet their needs, I'd be very unhappy. I love to take them to buy what they need. A father likes to provide. And our Heavenly Father, who loves us, wants to know what we need. He already knows, but he loves to hear us ask, because he wants a relationship with us. I wouldn't like it if my children never spoke to me. But some Christians hardly ever pray. They hardly ever ask for things. Ask for the things we need. Ask too for help. One of the guests at the baptism service told me, Christianity is a crutch. I said, yes, it is. I do need God's help. I ask for God's help every morning and every evening. I need God. I need to know him as my Father. I need a Father in heaven. Actually, living for Christ is very challenging. It's not for wimps. But to know God as Father makes all the difficulties worthwhile. God wants us to express our need by praying. And then he will provide. He will provide our greatest need, our need for forgiveness, verse 4. Forgive us our sins. We all need forgiveness, don't we? When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price there for all our sin. He took the punishment so that we can be forgiven. We can pray for forgiveness. But verse 4, we also pray, we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Now there's a great freedom in letting go of hurt. Do you remember Robin Oak? What an example of a father he was. He was the senior police officer whose son was murdered. Remember how he forgave his son's murderer? My Father in heaven forgives me. He wants me to forgive. He wants me to show the family likeness. It's a trait of the Father's family that we forgive one another. And then, lead us not into temptation. The family likeness is also holiness. Our Father wants us to be holy. He wants us to ask him for help to live a holy life. Which brings us secondly to verses 5 to 8. Asking the Father. Jesus tells the story of a man who goes to his friend at midnight to ask to be lent 3 loaves of bread. Verse 6. A friend has come on a journey and the man has nothing to offer him. Well, verse 7. The man inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity or boldness, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." Jesus is saying, God is not like that. God is better than that. The man will get up and produce some bread because it's too embarrassing not to. I have an aunt who's a bit like this. She and my mother went to do a car boot sale. And when they got there, there were no pitches left. My mother accepted they would have to go home. But my aunt cast herself on the mercy of the organizer. And he gave her a pitch. People are like that. If you have the shameless audacity to ask, you will often get what you want. With God, we can be shamelessly audacious. We can ask for anything we like. Because God is our Father. He will give us what he knows is good for us. He might, in fact he will, say no to some things. Or he might say wait. But unlike the man in the story, God doesn't need pressurizing or persuading. He just requires us to ask him. A child can ask for anything from their father. And if it's good for them, he will give it to them. We should ask because our Heavenly Father loves us. And that brings us thirdly to verses 9 to 13. Accepting from the Father. By nature, I expect the worst. My wife is laughing. She knows that's true. I am a pessimist. And I have learnt with God to expect the best. I don't mean the prosperity gospel. I don't mean we'll all be rich. But our Heavenly Father is a loving Father. He gives us good gifts. verse 9. So I say to you, says Jesus, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. There will be a good answer to your prayer. The only caveat to remember is, sometimes our prayers are answered in heaven. Sometimes our physical healing takes place in heaven. Sometimes God allows us to live with difficult situations, and only in heaven will we understand why. One of our church members had a son with cancer, and through that cancer, the church member became a Christian. I can think of other people who've become Christians because they've suffered or been ill. Sometimes, because God loves us, he allows us to live with seemingly unanswered prayers, only for us to see the reason in heaven. But Jesus is saying here, God is a good father who gives good gifts to his children. Verse 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Only a terrible father would do that. Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Only a terrible father would do that. Verse 13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What's the greatest gift God can give to us? It's the gift of himself. God is Trinity. He is three in one. He gives himself to us as Father. He gives to us Jesus. He gives the Holy Spirit to us to live within us and give us the power to live a Christian life. God is a loving Father. He wants to give you his Spirit. I wonder, have you ever come to him like that? Have you ever said, Heavenly Father, I need your Holy Spirit. I need your presence in my life. I recognize that I'm a sinner. I recognize that I've disobeyed you. Please forgive me. Thank you that Jesus died on the cross to pay for all my sin. Please give me the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, to live in me day by day. And how is your prayer life? Can I encourage you to think about the Lord's Prayer? Fundamentally, do you know God as your Father? Are you concerned for his honor? Are you relying on him for provision? Are you seeking his forgiveness? And then asking the Father, be bold in prayer. Be great tomorrow night in the prayer meeting to hear bold prayers, audacious prayers. Father, we want you to do that. Specific prayers. Lord, we want you to save my mother. We want you to save my husband. We want you to save my friend. We want you to come in power to body and soul and save lots of old people. We want you, Lord, to come in power to tea and tots and save lots of young mums and dads. We want you, Lord, to come in power to the children's work. Wouldn't it be fantastic to hear prayers like that tomorrow night? Because God invites us to. He is our Father. He loves us. Ask with the greatest of confidence. Be shamelessly audacious. And then expect. Expect a good answer. Look how we're to accept things from the Father here. Expect a good answer. Certainly expect a good answer in heaven. But God has many good gifts to give us here and now. He really does. Supremely, the gift of His Holy Spirit. The gift of Himself in Jesus. So I wonder, how is your prayer life? How is my prayer life? Be good, wouldn't it, just to bring ourselves to God now and say to Him, Lord, thank you that you love me in this way. Thank you that you invite me to know you as Father, to know your Spirit in my life. Thank you that I can bring all my needs to you and talk to you. Do you do that? Morning by morning, or maybe evening by evening. And then through the day, staying in touch, just talking to Him. Whenever an issue arises, bringing it to the Lord. Have a think now. How is my prayer life? And if it's not what it should be, which is true for all of us, if our prayer life is not what it should be, let's ask Him now to come to us and to strengthen our prayer lives. If we're Christians, we have the Holy Spirit. Let's ask God to enable us to enjoy that, to enjoy the Spirit's presence in our lives, to enjoy this intimacy with Him. So let's just take a minute or two to pray and to ask for God's help with our prayer lives, and then I'll pray. Father, thank you that you love us so much. We confess, Lord, that we all fail in the area of prayer. Lord, some days we don't pray at all, and we're sorry for that. Some days we think we can manage without you, and we're sorry for that. When we do pray, Lord, our minds wander. We start thinking about other things. But we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We pray now that He would empower us to pray. Help us to be disciplined, to set aside time every day to pray. Maybe to have a prayer diary of things to pray for. Help us, Lord, to play our part. And then, Lord, please meet with us day by day in your word and in prayer. Lord, would we see answers to prayer, which would encourage us to pray further? We pray for our prayer meeting tomorrow night, Lord. Please, Lord, would there be lots of people there? Please, would there be really bold prayers, ambitious prayers? Because, Lord, we want to see people saved. We want to see your kingdom being established, further established. We want to see your name being hallowed in this area. So, Lord, Help us, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.